This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. We're joined by Kathleen Pittman, who is the person who operates the Hope Medical Group in Shreveport. This is one of three clinics in Louisiana providing abortion services. And as we know, this topic is in the news every day, and that will only intensify when the Supreme Court issues its ruling in a case in Mississippi in which a leaked draft of the report, with Samuel Alito writing for the majority, which appears to be a 5-4 majority, with three of the justices appointed by Donald Trump, one by George Bush the first, and one by George Bush the second, meaning that four of the five justices who are going to make this the law of the land were nominated by presidents who did not receive a majority or a plurality of the vote. Again, 877-217-5757 is your number. And if you have a comment or a question, please be courteous, because this is a sensitive topic. On Wednesday's Ask the Governor, Governor John Bel Edwards, who has been, quote, pro-life throughout his career, acknowledged that he would be amenable. In fact, he would welcome a bill that would include rape and incest exceptions for abortion. The trigger law that will go into effect in Louisiana will not include those. So it would seem that legislation might be in the offing from the Capitol by some lawmaker to at least give exceptions for people who are victims of rape and incest. Kathleen Pittman, who runs the Hope Medical Group, has graciously agreed to be with us, and it is good to hear your voice, Kathleen. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, before this happened, we had the Texas situation, which, of course, has made abortion a real issue in Texas. And people, of course, are reluctant to provide them based on the law that was passed in the Lone Star State. I would imagine you had an increased number of people seeking your services since you're literally across the line.
That is true. The law went into effect September 1 of last year, and we immediately were inundated with calls from Texas. Prior to SB 8 from Texas, we were seeing approximately 18% of our clients were coming from Texas, since we are so close to the border. By the end of September, that had jumped to 37%. It eventually went up early this year as far as 70-something percent were coming from Texas. That has since leveled out. And one thing we have seen happen as a result of the Texas law, women are being delayed care. Therefore, they're further into their pregnancies at the time of termination. We're seeing a lot fewer early terminations. More women are getting into us later in the first trimester and early second trimester.
And I am told, in fact, I've read it several times in the last few weeks, that most abortions in America are now provided through pharmaceutical assistance. But I would think that becomes less of a way to do it if a woman is farther along in her pregnancy. Am I right or wrong?
You are right. We are seeing very few medical abortions simply because women have surpassed the limit for which it's been approved.
You have been doing this for how long, Kathleen?
Going on 30 years.
30 years. And I think it would go without saying that you believe strongly in what you're doing, and you have faced the slings and arrows that go with that. I suspect it hasn't been easy for you in many of those 30 years.
No, times have been difficult. You know, we are constantly harangued and harassed. There are the protesters. But quite frankly, I consider that not nearly the issue as I do with the legislators. Every year, we are seeing more and more restrictive legislation. Of course, you know, you've already mentioned the trigger ban. I think what appalls me more than those that are out on the sidewalk screaming at us, what appalls me more are the legislators that have, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, they've done nothing but shown cruelty to the women.
There was a bill that cleared committee, and it ultimately was amended, but would have imposed murder charges against women who receive abortions. And mm-hmm. I suspect that's what you're talking about.
Not just that, but what happens when you have restrictive abortion laws, you're going to have more and more women taking matters into their own hands. And because of a proposed bill, they won't even be able to access medical abortion through the mail. You're going to see women further into their pregnancies trying to end their pregnancies. You're going to see hospitalizations. You're going to see more maternal deaths. I mean, I absolutely am firmly convinced of that.
Why do you think the legislature and legislators, that the group of people, mostly men, is so steadfast in trying to prevent this service from becoming prevalent? And we're talking about something that's been around now for a half century.
Absolutely. You know, I don't mean to sound like a strident feminist, but it is about control. Controlling, other people's bodies. When someone comes to me and says, well, you know, pregnancy is God's will. Well, okay, so is impotence. Then don't treat that. There are so many things that are backwards in the way of thinking for these legislators. Is it because of the funding they receive? You know, do we follow the money? I think it's money. I think it's control over others. I couldn't begin to ascertain what goes on in the minds of some of these legislators.
877-217-5757. And as I stated, it is essential to be courteous to our guests. And I know they're passionate people on all sides of this issue. And Kathleen, I think you would acknowledge there really are more than two sides to this issue. There are about 35 sides to this issue. But ultimately, it comes down to whether a woman has the right to control her reproductive destiny, if you will.
Yes, I agree.
Tim and Thibodeau, you're first up. Tim, you're on with Kathleen.
Thank you, Kathleen. Jim, agree with you, Kathleen, thoroughly. I hope you would also agree with Steinem's statement that if men could bear children, abortion would be a sacrament.
I am so behind you, Jim. Absolutely.
Well, men are making these decisions so largely, and the Supreme Court, of course,
but
has.
You know,
go ahead. Go
one
ahead.
Thing I would like to point out, some of our most egregious restrictions have been sponsored by women legislators. I just want to throw that one out there.
That's true. And in Louisiana, we have some very passionate pro-life female legislators, one of whom is a Democrat in Katrina Jackson. But it comes down largely to religion. People don't want to say that, but that's basically it. And I can understand it. If a person believes that this is the taking of a life, that it is equivalent to murdering somebody, then, well, sure, then you're going to go the distance to try to prevent something like that from happening. But what is confounding, Kathleen, is that many of these same people are fully embracing the death penalty. They're pro-life until they're not.
It makes no sense. And I can tell you also, as a clinic administrator, we see patients coming to us from all over the state that until they come here, they have purported to be pro-life, which I take exception to that term anyway. We see women, well, I don't believe in abortion. Well, but yet they come to us. And, you know, so we have to have some very serious conversations. Why is abortion okay for you, but it's not for this young woman that's been assaulted since she was 10 years old? Mm-hmm. Again, I cannot begin to understand what goes on in the minds of some people.
We're visiting with Kathleen Pittman, the administrator for the Hope Medical Group in Shreveport. She's been doing this, as you can imagine, with much pushback for 30 years. Have there been protesters at the clinic all of those 30 years?
Oh, absolutely. It ebbs and flows as to the numbers. And also, when things are in the news, we are more likely to see more protesters out there. A great shout out to our clinic escorts who show up rain or shine and help protect our patients, from these people. So, yes, we do have protesters.
What happens to your clinic if the Supreme Court rules as expected?
If Roe is reversed, we close. All three clinics in Louisiana will close.
So then, as we know, Kathleen, especially with pills being the major way of ending a pregnancy now, an unwanted pregnancy, I would imagine that people with means will find a way to get those pills.
Well, one would hope, but it is illegal for, or it's been proposed, and I think by one of our senators, I believe it's, I'm not sure which one it is, SB 388, that prescribers must have a Louisiana license for women in Louisiana to obtain the pill and to make, to outlaw it being sent in by mail. So if abortion's illegal in...
Okay, we do have to take a break. And we'll be back in 90 seconds. Your number is 877-217-5757. More from Kathleen Pittman after this brief timeout on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. And we're talking about the most personal of issues, abortion rights and availability. And as I found through the years, this is such a sensitive topic that many women eschew the opportunity to talk about it on the air, and we welcome female callers. Most of the people who usually call and opine are men, and that's, as I've stated, is a problem when it comes to legislation. Even if you're pro-choice, it would be nice to get a female perspective because this issue affects women in ways it will never affect men. And I did want you to finish your thought before we went to the break, Kathleen Pittman. The law that is being proposed would impose charges on providers of abortion, including those who might be helpful to women who seek pharmaceutical assistance. You're saying, I gather, that this could be a culprit for people who are seeking abortion services.
Absolutely. With abortion not available within the state, more women would attempt to receive the prescription pill, abortion pill. But proposed legislation bans that as well, outlaws that. It can't be, according to this bill, it could not be sent through the mail, and it certainly couldn't be provided by a physician that's not licensed in Louisiana. So they are absolutely trying to plug every possible outlet for women that are seeking care. And ultimately, what is going to happen, women can't receive care early in the pregnancy. If they can't travel hundreds of miles out of state, again, they will attempt to take matters into their own hands. And then if they run into complications, we'll be afraid to go to their physician or go to the hospital because of repercussions. So we're going to see some women in very dire straits.
877-217-5757, your number. Please be brief in your remarks. A question from a listener is, as far as the pharmaceutical pill that you refer to, how far along in a pregnancy is it effective? When does it no longer become a possibility?
It is FDA approved up through 10 weeks.
10 weeks, which is the first trimester, obviously. Pat in Denham Springs. Pat, you're on with Kathleen. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. I have two areas of question. One simply is the interaction between these bills and our HIPAA, our privacy protections. You know, if I go to the doctor and I have a problem with my cycle or something and he discovers I'm pregnant, is my privacy, my private medical information not protected, and are the bills eliminating that? And if so, at what point in the pregnancy do you lose the protection of privacy? And the other is just a clarification of when you say we're overturning Roe v. Wade and Casey, what exactly are we overturning? Because briefly, my sense of it is that Roe provides abortion pretty much up to the viability of the fetus. And that Casey had something to do with, or maybe it's backwards, but there is a point at which you cannot just abort the baby because the baby has a life to live. And I think there's a lot of talk about, you know, all these right to life advocates.
All right. Your response, Kathleen. Thank you, Pat. Kathleen, we need to unlock. Yeah. There we go. Your thoughts.
It is confusing. with Roe v. Wade, it would basically send the decision for the right to privacy back to the states. And as we know, Louisiana has a trigger ban that would make it illegal. With the federal cases, Roe, Casey, et cetera, I'm not an attorney. I can tell you that later cases have allowed states to enforce restrictions, but they could not create undue burden on the women. And so that is what we have been repeatedly going back to court for, most recently for our clinic, June Medical versus Russo, because they were in trying to enforce restrictions that had no medical benefit but would create more barriers for women. So it's very convoluted. So with Roe being reversed or even amended in part and sending it back to the states, that's where Louisiana's trigger ban would kick in.
John and Broadmoor, you did well. You did well. John and Broadmoor, you're on with Kathleen.
Good morning, folks. I have a question about the geography of abortion providers. And Kathleen mentioned that clients would cross borders to be able to go to abortion clinics. If indeed this law is enforced or overturned and then the anti-abortion law is enforced nationwide, what does Kathleen see as far as Americans going to other countries? And, of course, obviously, then we just have poor women that couldn't travel. And then in many cases, those children become wards of the state, and which is what conservatives shouldn't want. So I'm wondering how that works out.
Well, okay, women who can afford to will travel further afield. We would be back to a pre-Roe situation where, you know, young women who are from families of means, they'll be able to get to where they need to go, whether it's the East Coast or the West Coast, wherever. Again, you know, our concern has to be for those women that can't afford to travel. And that's what I keep pounding about, because these are already the women we see at the clinic. The primary reason they give for terminating a pregnancy, and this is been going on for years, the primary reason is lack of financial resources. They cannot afford to expand their family at this time. Most of the women already have one or more children. So once again, it's going to be the marginalized communities that are going to suffer. Women of means, they'll always be able to go where they need to go to receive care.
As far as the demographic makeup of the patients who come to the clinic, is it mostly a minority population?
It is. I would say right now we're running around, at Hope, I would say about 65% are African American. And then the rest would be made up of Caucasian and then some Asian, some Latina.
Mm-hmm. Now, isn't there a waiting period in Louisiana? You can't just walk into a clinic and get an abortion, can you?
Yes. Today, there is a 24-hour waiting period. Effective this Saturday, the 21st, that extends to 72 hours, which is particularly difficult for women who are already having to make this same, you know, these trips.
Yeah.
Some of us, I mean, you know, we're talking about people who are trying to figure out how to pay for an abortion, how to pay to get a ride to receive an abortion, child care, time off work, not once but twice. So, you know, it's difficult. And there are so many factors that others don't consider.
You're saying this Saturday, it'll go to 3 days.
This Saturday the 21st.
3 days.
Yeah.
Jane, 877-217-5757. If you'd like to get in under the wire, we might be able to get you through. We do have some people online to talk to Kathleen, as I mentioned, and we encourage female callers. James and Metairie. James, you're on with Kathleen.
Good morning, Jim, and to your guest. A real quick comment. You mentioned about the religious angle to abortion. In a wonderful, wonderful article called The Next Prohibition, the writer writes that the goal of many evangelicals and Catholics in the Right to Life movement, who believe the only legitimate sexual expression is between a married heterosexual couple not using birth control. All else is sin. Now, my question to the guest is this. We see on the internet all sorts of initiatives around the country by different state legislatures that they want to go after people, not just the pregnant woman, go after people who transport or fund abortions in a state where it is legal. How is that constitutional, please?
All right, Kathleen.
It isn't. It isn't constitutional, but again, we don't wake up one day and all these rights have been ripped away from us. This is something that has been very methodically taking place over the years. So, yes, I think people who, you know, there are many people that should be very afraid, not just those that think they might one day be needed in need of abortion care. It's going to, and ultimately, they're coming after everything.
877-217-5757. We're going to spend a few more minutes with Kathleen Pittman, who runs the Hope Medical Group in Shreveport, one of three abortion clinics in Louisiana. And then we'll go to Mark Ballard at the state capitol. Back after this brief timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. A few more minutes with Kathleen Pittman, a lady. I think those who disagree with her would acknowledge that she is courageous. She's done something 30 years that is unpopular in some quarters, as we know, in Shreveport, Louisiana, which is a conservative city. And providing abortion services is not without danger, as we know. And now her clinic, the Hope Medical Group, is on the brink of closing if the decision from the U.S. Supreme Court goes into effect. Now, we may not be able to get to all of you, probably can't. Mark Ballard is on deck. He's got much to talk about, including this issue. But let's go to Michaela in Prairieville, who's been waiting patiently. Michaela, you're on with Kathleen. Hi, Michaela.
Hey, how's it going? I have a question about other programs such as Planned Parenthood. How would this affect, like, funding? And where does, you know, these limitations kind of end as far as, like, health care for women?
Okay, in regard to Planned Parenthood, that would be something so separate from the abortion issue. As you are probably aware, Planned Parenthood at one point in New Orleans had built a new facility, was planning to provide abortion care. They've never been licensed as such. Louisiana law prohibits the use of state or federal monies in with being granted to any facility that provides abortion care. So, you know, I'm not a Planned Parenthood person, so I can't really speak directly to that. I do know women need routine well care, and I think with the advent of the ACA several years ago, you know, that might explain part of the reason the number of abortions has dropped in Louisiana, access to birth control. So I hope I didn't wander too far afield for you.
Anne on Jefferson Highway. Thank you, Michaela. Anne, you're on with Kathleen Pittman.
Good morning. I just wanted to make a comment. If anybody wanted to follow what's happening in the legislature, I know a lot of people already know how to do this, but you can go to legis.la.gov, and if you choose bills and then current session and then bill text, you can put in the word abortion or whatever.
And walk out.
We're joined now by Mark Ballard, and we will continue with this topic for a little bit. And we've commented before about some of these lawmakers who had epiphanies, and one of them, perhaps the poster boy for epiphanies, is our junior senator, John Neely Kennedy. And he continues to send messages about his pro-life credentials. Here's one. There's one thing that I'm 150% sure of, not 100%, but 150%. I didn't know 150% was possible from a human. It's either 100% or 89 or 43, but not 150. But that's what he says all the time and twice on Sunday. And that's the fact: we must protect the lives of all unborn children. Since day one, President Biden, accompanied by his radical goons, has launched a full-on assault on the right to life. There's no issue that I feel stronger about, and no issue that I will fight harder for, because I know what I'm fighting for. L capital, I capital, F capital, E capital. And then he appeals for money to continue his fight. And as we know, John Kennedy not so long ago was totally on the other side. But he's got $14 million in the bank, Mark Ballard, so some people must be heeding the call from the junior senator.
I think he's talking to his base and hoping that they'll send more money.
And they are, and he is 5.5 months away from Election Day, November 8th, and right now he doesn't have a Republican opponent. Live in a red state. He's got the advantage of a huge war chest, name recognition, and he's relatively popular in our state. I would think that he may end up using that money for other causes or other races, because I don't think he's going to need it all unless something changes to win re-election, Mark.
Well, that's true. I mean, I think he'll have millions of dollars left over when this is all said and done, and that he's going to be reelected. I don't think that there's going to be anybody from the right challenging him. So my guess is that he wins outright in the primary.
Mm-hmm. Now, yesterday on his radio program, Governor Edwards stated that he was, of course, pro-life. We know that, but that he also steadfastly believed there should be exceptions to rape and incest. Now, the trigger law that goes into effect when the Supreme Court overturns Roe v. Wade, as expected, or as anticipated, it includes no exceptions for rape or incest. Does that mean that a state lawmaker might swing into action? What are the prospects right now?
I don't think there's going to be anyone swinging into action right now. It would have to have overwhelming support in the legislature, because remember, there's only about 2 weeks left, and I don't think there is overwhelming support for exceptions. So I think that if it's overturned, as it seems likely that it might be, that there will be no exceptions in Louisiana.
And if lawmakers had an up and down vote, you're right. They might not even be able to get exceptions for rape and incest. They might not.
I think so. I mean, I think we have a very very anti-abortion legislature. And they're just not into doing any exceptions or causing any rollback on the trigger mechanism. That's my read of it. I could be wrong.
So. Well, I think you know the terrain better than anyone. So chances are abortion will be illegal, except to save the life of the mother. But as you know, there are those who believe that that's a loophole that they would like to close.
There are some that would, but I don't think that they have enough support to close that loophole right now. I think that we've seen Senator Jackson's bill will get passed probably. But I think we've seen the end of abortion legislation for this particular session. There's just not enough time, mm-hmm. and they would need 2/3 votes to get it done.
Right now, the front page of The Advocate is the talk not only from Mark's story about the budget, which we will talk with him about. It was approved, but the House Speaker, Clay Schexnider, hired stepsons to remodel state apartments. This is something that in the old days would be big, and it's still big. It would seem a clear case of an ethical lapse. Your thoughts?
Well, the Ethics Board has, to be fair, the Ethics Board has decided that stepsons are not immediate family, therefore can be hired. So that seems a loophole. The other issue is that they bought appliances from his wife's.
All right, we're going to continue with Mark and get his thoughts to finish this about Clay Schexnider after this quick timeout on Talk Louisiana.
Don Molino, the voice of Louisiana Agriculture Radio Network Studios, powered by Louisiana Propane. At the Board of Trade this hour, July soybeans, 1687 and 3/4, up 25. November, 1509, up 9.5. July cotton, 145.08, up 61. New crop December, 127.90, down 128. July corn, 7.85 3/4, up 4.25. September, 7.53, down 0.25. July rise, 1675, down 6. September, 1704, up a half. July wheat at Chicago, 12 and a half, down 18 and one quarter. December, 12.19 and one half, down 14 and three quarters. July sugar unchanged, 36.76. September also unchanged at 36.40. At the mercantile this hour, June live cattle, 131.27, down 22. August feeder cattle, 165.07, down 72. I'm Don Molino, the voice of Louisiana Agriculture Radio Network.
Just three words tell you everything you need to know. They tell you why we employ more than 2,000 workers at our factory in Virginia Beach, and why over 10,000 local steel dealers are putting battery power in the hands of Americans. Just three words. Made in America. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. The majority of steel products sold in America are made in America of U.S. and foreign materials. Batteries and chargers are sourced internationally.
Why? Just think about it. Why is the number one selling brand of chainsaws not sold at Lowe's or the Home Depot? We can give you over 10,000 reasons. That's how many authorized local steel dealers you can find across the country. Visit one and you'll find a range of dependable gas and battery-powered tools, from trimmers to blowers. And you'll find service from experienced professionals. Real steel. Find yours at steelusa.com. Lowe's and Home Depot are trademarks of their respective companies.
This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow producing and Mark Ballard in the final quarter hour giving his observations about what's happening at the Capitol and beyond. And the House Speaker Clay Schexnider, who lives not far from us, he is subject of a front page story about hiring his two stepsons, Jonathan and Bo Diaz, to do some work that involved, of course, their company. And this is something that usually involves a state contractor, but it did not in this case. And the speaker is now the subject of an ethics inquiry, at least in the public domain. But you're saying, Mark, that stepsons are immune from the rules of biological sons, which is really an interesting observation. That's basically the Ethics Commission saying that stepsons are not on an equal par with biological sons and daughters. That is interesting.
But that is the rule, so it is what it is, but that is the rule. One thing is that the state had actually started doing the repairs in that particular apartment because the pipes broke during that freeze we had back a couple of years ago. And so the state started fixing up those apartments that had gotten flooded from the broken pipes. And as they were getting close to completion, Schexnider decided that he didn't like what they were doing. And then he basically locked them out and then brought in his stepsons or the contracting company mm-hmm. that his stepsons run to finish it up. And that's where it all kind of began, because the Division of Administration was like, wait a minute, hold on. We had this. And then you decided to change it at the last minute. And so mm-hmm. I think that's where the fight began on this. And so then once he started with his stepsons, he furnished it better than it had been before.
And this, according to the story, very good and a long story in this morning's Advocate, for cost taxpayers over $44,000. And the Speaker of the House, as we've stated, state lawmakers don't earn a lot as far as their stated pay, but they do get per diem. And Speaker Schexnider, the Republican from Gonzales, has two apartments in the Pentagon Barracks, which, as you can imagine, has immense value. So Speaker Schexnider is doing pretty well as Speaker, and he is able to reward his stepsons. And a listener points out accurately that Coach Ed Orgeron had his stepson on the payroll at LSU as an assistant coach, and I guess that would be the same kind of situation.
Not immediate family.
Not immediate family. How can that be? That blows not logic, but what's logic have to do with it? 877-217-5757, David in Atlanta. David, you're on. Good morning.
There was a recent article in the Washington Post. A growing number of Republican congressmen, many of which are from Louisiana, like Clay Higgins, oppose military and other aid to the brave people fighting a murderous monster, Vladimir Putin, to help Ukraine. And Donald Trump has yet to say one bad word about Vladimir Putin. It seems to me these Republicans like Clay Higgins, their allegiance is to Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, and not to the security and the integrity of the United States defending freedom in Ukraine. They're disgusting people.
All right. Well, we could leave out the last remark, but not only includes Clay Higgins, but Garrett Graves and Congressman Mike Johnson. They all voted against aid to Ukraine. Garrett Graves, once again, siding with Republicans. But on this one, even Steve Scalise voted for aid to Ukraine. Graves is to the right of Scalise on this issue and perhaps more, Mark Ballard.
Well, yeah, I think the issue for the Republicans is that it's kind of splitting the party, because you have some of the right wing that is supporting of Russia, and then you have the majority of the Republican Party being more for the Ukraine. And this is a problem that they're trying to work through on a national level, and I guess we'll see how that goes. But it could be a one that splits the party.
It's nice to hear the birds approving of Mark's comments. Are you at the state capitol or are you at the Garden District right now, Mark?
I'm in the Garden District to talk to you, and then I'll be rushing
and then
to
you'll
the
be,
state capitol.
Well, not so far away, but as you can tell, Mark is communing with nature, and the Garden District is a nice place to do that. Mark has the top story in the paper today. Senate approves $39 billion budget. Now, that's a big number. How does that compare with last year's budget? Do you know?
Okay. What you need to look at is how much does the state of Louisiana
Correct.
Actually kick into that budget? And it is a little bit less, just by a couple of $100 million, than was last year's budget. So the administration and the legislature are working to try to use all of this additional money as one-time money for investments into the infrastructure, for paying down the debts that we have with retirement, and to kind of fill up the rainy day funds that we have, rather than expanding, though there is some, rather than expanding state government with programs that will have to be repaid year after year after year, which is what caused our big issue back in after the 2005 hurricanes, when the economy boomed because of the restoration that was going on, and they thought, oh, this is great. So they cut taxes and they expanded programs, and then all of a sudden we were without enough money when the economy kind of settled down a little bit. They learned their lessons. They're trying to use this money as one-time investments, so without expanding state government. That's what their plan is.
Now, the teacher pay recommendation from Governor Edwards was a $2,000 increase in salary. That one, is it at $1,500? Is that where we are going to finish?
I think so. I think that these budget bills in remarkable, historic fashion are going to be finally approved today. And so I think that that's where it's going to end. $1,500 for school teachers, $750 for the staffers. He had wanted to use additional money that was found earlier this month to boost that pay to $2,000, but the legislators say, well, wait a minute. We've given, about $3,300 over the last 4 years, and the locals have not given anything, and they want the locals to kind of pitch in to increase the pay of the teachers. That's the thinking anyway.
Another listener asks about ITEP, and for those who like the changes under Governor Edwards, it doesn't look good as far as keeping those in place with a new governor, does it?
Well, at least putting it in statute. A new governor would have to write an executive order ending the way that it's done now, which allows local government, the people whose money it really is, to have some sort of input into the ITEP. And so I don't think that we're going to see it in statute. There are some efforts, to kind of put in statute specifics of the of what the governor wanted to do, but those have not passed yet. So so it still will be a governor's executive order until the next governor or the one after that decides to end it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned John Kennedy, who will be on the ballot November 8th, and he has three candidates who are announced, including Luke Mixon and Gary Chambers, both of whom have been on our show. But that means all the congressmen and one woman, they will be on the ballot that day as well. And as you can imagine, with the districts being uncertain, there aren't a lot of people who have signed up, no prominent challengers to any of them. Mark, I would think that they probably are on cruise control to reelection, all of them.
Yeah, unless the federal court comes in and says we can't use these redistricting maps, we need new ones. I think that that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, those maps were designed to ensure the reelection of the five Republicans and one Democrat in our congressional delegation, and that's the way it's. Cruise control is a good idea because I think that's where we're going.
And we are 17 months away from the governor's election. 17 months. And who knows who's going to run. Now, we do have three statewide officials who say they're going to run in Billy Nungesser and Jeff Landry and Schroeder, John Schroeder, the treasurer. But I'm not sure who will be in and who will be out, but I suspect it'll be a crowded field, Mark.
They usually are when you have the open seats like that. But you need to be raising money and lining up support right now. And there's not been a whole lot of that going on. And so it'll be interesting to see who comes in at the last minute. I mean, we could have Sharon Hewitt, the Slidell senator from Republican, from a right-wing type of mm-hmm. perspective. We could have Senator Gary Smith from Norco. He's a Democrat and has a lot of money. And so, I mean, I think that there's a possibility of several people jumping in, but they haven't jumped in yet, and it's getting kind of late for
it is indeed.
Gubernatorial candidate.
You think that John Bel Edwards announced on our show in February of 2013 that he was a candidate in the October 2015 election, 2 years and 8 months out, and this is 17 months out, and we still don't know. But Mark, I know you'll be following it, and we'll be calling on you for your wisdom as we do every Thursday. Thank you, sir. Keep up your good work. Be safe getting from
Thank
the Garden
you.
District to the Capitol. Thank you, my friend.
I'll drive careful.
There
okay, take
there
care.
Signature support from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Stay safe and stay tuned.